All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Thursday on The Usual Suspects, and we are all present and accounted for, and hopefully so are you, as you are suspects hammering through another day in the big city. We appreciate you tuning us in and keeping us locked for the next 3 hours. Barry, Nick, what's up, fellas?
What up, what up, what up?
What it do? What's going on?
All good in the neighborhood as we get ready for game four tonight in a frigid, are you kidding me, New York?
Why are you saying that?
All these people, I even heard Charlie go, Josh Reddick may wear a full face mask and headgear to stay warm. And other
breaking
guys are gonna be
news!
It's going to be 50 degrees with wind.
Really?
You know what I call that? Summer in Wisconsin early.
It's cold to me.
50 is cold to you, really?
Yeah. Freezing.
Wow.
I hate cold weather.
Okay. I didn't really think that was the case, but all right.
Yeah, that's a bit much.
Cold is 30s, right?
Nah, cold for me is 50s.
Not even that for me, but I mean.
Yeah.
30s is not cold for you?
No. Here, 30s, I've told you, is different. 30s here feels more like low 20s in Wisconsin.
Because, how is that possible? Oh,
because
of
all the moisture, the humidity in the air makes it feel a lot colder.
Yep.
Because back in Wisconsin in the winter times, it's dry. It's bone dry. So, the cold, it's more bearable, simply. With the moisture, it gets into your skin and everything. It kind of gets in quick.
I was talking to a friend of mine. She lives in Minnesota now. And we're collaborating on some custom
tennies,
shoes.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, she said that Minnesota can get down to minus 40s, that Alaska doesn't get that cold.
Yep.
Who would want to live there?
Ever.
Why would you want to live in either one of those locations?
I keep trying to explain to people that's part of the reason why I got out.
That's just crazy talk.
I mean, on Facebook, I see all my friends and the people that I grew up with, and they all look 90 because of the fact that they spend almost 25% of their life, if not more, in just those kind of conditions.
It's crazy.
And they don't. And so all you do is you muster up enough energy and coffee to get to work. You get home as quick as you can. You shovel or do whatever you do. And then you eat your ass off and you fall asleep and you repeat.
Wait a minute. What was the last part?
You eat your ass off. You eat everything in sight.
Now I'm good.
We got you.
It's fine. It's
no,
a fact.
No.
And you don't wear clothes that match because you don't care. You just wear as many layers as you can to stay warm.
I'm okay with that. I hate cold weather. Look, I don't get Chicago. Like, it's cold and you can get shot. No, I don't want to live there.
Well, believe me,
Milwaukee is a
smaller version of Chicago.
If I'm going to get shot, I want it to be balmy.
I want it to be 90 degrees. Yeah.
Yeah, I want it to be shot while it's balmy and comfortable.
Welcome to Miami.
You want to live in Miami where you'll get shot.
I guess you can't
nice
choose where you get shot, but yeah. I would choose not Chicago.
I feel like I sound like I'm underwater on this microphone.
It is a different microphone
a little
different. For
sure. Yeah.
It's not, you don't sound bad, but you sound different.
Really?
I like it.
In my headset, it sounds very weird.
Yeah.
Compared to you two.
Okay.
But I'm not touching that other microphone.
Because you broke it the other day.
You've broken it like 6 times.
Oh, my God. I hate y'all so much. You have no idea the angst that this causes me when AJ comes in and accuses me of breaking
the door fly up. What you doing now?
Literally, this is exactly what I do to touch the microphone stand.
I move it to the side.
And then when we're back from break, I move it there. And he's like, yeah, you broke it. Oh, okay. If that breaks it, well, maybe it's the microphone stand.
Well.
But, yeah, it does sound a little bit different, but I refuse to use that microphone anymore. So, well, maybe we'll swap that one out for this
You're
one.
You're making another stand, huh? Oh, you could do that.
Yeah, that way I don't. Well, that one's broke too, though, isn't it?
The stand is a little, but just take the microphone and switch them out.
All right, we'll do that at the break.
Adventurous evening and morning for me.
Yeah, how'd it go?
I raced out of here because I was told I was getting an IV.
Right.
Doctor wanted to just chat it up, look at the wound, never even gave me the IV.
Oh, really?
Yep. So then I had an appointment this morning at the hospital in Richmond, Texas, because they couldn't fit me anywhere else and they had to do it quickly so they could set up a PICC line, which essentially is
what the hell?
A reusable IV port in your arm.
Okay.
because the doctor did tell me last night, for 2 to 3 weeks every 8 hours now, I will be administering my own antibiotics intravenously at my house or wherever I am. Intravenously.
Okay.
Yes.
I don't know.
If you want to isolate that too, but
no, I didn't. I wasn't sure.
There's
what
a vein involved.
That.
Okay. That makes you feel better.
The main vein.
And there is a 6-inch or something like that piece of plastic in the vein. Yeah.
If you did it intrapenously, that would make my night. I would really be happy that you had to get an injection down there.
So as you guys know, I'm dedicated to the show. So I had
yes,
set this up because
so.
I'm not missing work.
Right.
So my appointment's at 11 a.m. in Richmond, and I'm like, okay, but the doctor's office told me if I get there early, they'll get you in and out. So I'm good, and I already noticed this isn't like the Med Center or some of the other hospitals in Sugar Land. This is a little bit more, shall we say, laid back and different. So I get through all the paperwork and everything like that. I get to where I'm supposed to go for radiology, and the lady goes, you know your appointment's not till 11 a.m., right? And I said, yes, ma'am, but my doctor's office called and said, because I got to go to work, that if I got here earlier, that they would get me in quicker. She goes, yeah, well, that ain't me. And that ain't going to wait. I got two in front of you, honey. So if you want to go get breakfast and a coffee and come back at 11, we'll do what we can. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And she shut the window on me. So I'm am I going to leave or am I going to stay? So I stayed there for like a half hour. And lo and behold, thankfully, a nurse in the back heard me and said, give me 10 minutes and we're going to get you in. I was like, okay, cool. And so she was great. They were great. They got me in. Crazy process where you're on an operating table on your back looking straight up while they're doing like from an MRI type machine to all kinds of stuff and watching the tube go into your vein and all this stuff. But they got me in and out. And it was like hockey. It took everything I had on the way out to not punch the glass. You know, like hockey players
right,
do
right,
and fans.
Right.
I want to just walk up to the glass and just rattle the cage for that woman going, know what? I got in and out okay. Have a nice day. Because I was furious.
I bet.
Well, I was texting you guys because I'm like, look, I'm here at 9:30 for an 11 o'clock, and there's a chance I will be late for the show.
If you're told one thing and then they just ignore it, that would piss me off too.
Yeah, I was literally
like that happens at every hospital. Don't you feel like that?
Yeah.
It aggravates me every time I go to a hospital because they never honor what they say.
Because they got you
Yeah.
So they know you are at their mercy to do whatever they want to do at whatever speed they feel like doing it. And oh my God, I was on my last nerve. And then you see some of these guys, like, you know, they do the wet floor, the little stand up sign.
Uh-huh.
And the guy walks in, he's got a boot on, and he walks in. Literally, he was more accurate than Kami Fairburn. He walks in and on his second step, just boom, and kicks that thing across the little waiting room, and it's pop, 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 and slapping around. He goes, yep, sorry, but I ain't picking it up. Walked right in, sat down. I was like, oh, boy, it's going to be one of those days.
Nice.
Other people sleeping in there. I was like, okay, I need in, out, now.
And this was in Richmond?
Richmond, Texas.
Yeah.
You know, well,
not too far from where I'm at.
That sounds about
more
right.
Me.
Oh.
So or me.
Would you say that Richmond is cut and shoot south?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're more developed.
I think so.
They're more civilized.
No.
Live in a town called Cut and Shoot.
No.
I would
you
say,
live around Richmond.
I would say in the grand scheme of things that Kuntz probably takes the cake.
What are the local bars called over there? Cut and Shoot Sports Bar and Grill. Like, is that what it's called? Because No one would go there.
I have no idea what it would be called. Probably something that we can't say on air.
It just says bar on the sign with like a Pabst Blue Ribbon that they never updated. So it's a PBR light up sign that says bar.
I mean, there's a lot
of things. Google the bars and cut.
There's a lot of things that I would say, but I think some of them would have letters sent to the station, so I'm just going to refrain.
Let's go out on a small limb, though, and say in every one of the towns we are referring to, there is probably a Bubba's.
Sam's Roadhouse is in Cut and Shoot.
A Roadhouse, a Bubba's.
Yeah, that's probably true.
A bar and a sports bar.
Man, I can't say what's on my
Why
mind.
Why not? When has this ever held you back before?
It's just because I know that this is going to upset some.
It is. We're big in Cut and Shoot.
Do you think that they really know that you're referring to the actual Cut and Shoot? Or?
Trust me. It's best if we just move on.
So really?
There's only one thought in my head, And so I can't participate on this because the only thing that I'll say is that thought.
Yeah.
And I'll get
And really you will good. Get murdered on the text line.
I would get, no, I'll get in trouble like across the board.
Oh, I love it. So. Let's go. What is it? Come on. Spit it out now.
No. Wait,
that will make the rest of the show enjoyable. The text line. Come on.
You know, Cut and Shoot was where, was it? It was Cut and Shoot where they said the Texas Chainsaw, was that it? Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Was it there?
I think so.
That I don't know.
Yeah. I'm 90% sure that that was Cut and Shoot. I'd have to look it up. There was some sort of like, what's it called?
What's the really bad crime happened, the racially motivated crime where they tied the dude to the bumper?
That was Vider.
Vider.
Yeah, that was Vider, Texas.
Yeah, yeah, there's a couple of towns that I have bad recollections of, but
really,
I had never heard of Cut and Shoot being bad.
I want to say that maybe that's just like an urban legend. I don't know.
Can't you Google? I'm going to Google it at the home of Texas Chainsaw. Yeah,
yes, I will look it up.
And they'll give you Nick's address on Google.
I will check it out at the break.
You go by Nick's house at night and hear.
That's just him after beans.
That's just him cutting the tree in the back.
That's just him after beans. That's all.
Okay. All right, we're just getting started on the suspect. So you know how we do it. HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Call that number, text that number, or of course reach out via Twitter where it's at PacManJoel with a K, at Barry is funny, at the producer Nick. We are the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
ESPN. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick, Barry, and Skip to my Lou on a Thursday in the big city as we continue here on The Usual Suspects. And boy, oh boy, when we say you suspects are active participants in the show. We've also said in the past you guys are like quick draw McGraw, quick on the draw whenever we say something that you want to correct.
Right.
I looked up at the board before we went to break and literally thought that Sigmund Bloom was coming on next because the switchboard was going...
Phone lines
nuts.
Just blew up.
Then I looked at the inbox on the text messages, and we had 61. This is the first segment. 61 on the inbox, and they were all corrections.
Yeah, and it was...
You got to get it right now.
Yeah, it was not Vider where James Byrd was a drug. It was Jasper.
Jasper was the bumper
Vider, drag. Jasper, same thing.
How far apart are we talking?
Vider... which other people pointed out is still racist.
Yes, plenty of people did point out that. Yeah, don't it's still. Some people said it's still sketchy. I wouldn't say it's still racist. Some people on the text line, their words, not ours, that it's still sketchy. Other people were saying, "You guys have a lot of fans in Vider, and it was unfair of you to say that. Why? Just because we got it wrong? Like, it's in that area."
We say a lot of bad things about each other.
Yeah.
We're not going to worry about that.
Settle down. It wasn't an attack on Vider. It was, we got the location wrong. Why are you so upset about this, people?
By the way, population in Vider?
Yes.
10,000. Population in Jasper? 8,000. What's the big difference?
Size matters, Nick.
It's a 2,000 person discrepancy.
I mean, Vider is a lot closer to Beaumont than I thought. I thought Vider was far north. I thought it was closer to Jasper. It's actually pretty close to Beaumont.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just looking at according to Wiki, so this is not an updated...
Here's the takeaway. Relax. We named the wrong city by mistake. I did. Relax.
Pretty safe to say neither one of the two cities we're talking about are going to make America's top 10 most racially pleasant places to live.
Yeah. I mean, relax. Just chill out, you know? I didn't make your city's reputation, okay?
Yeah.
I didn't cause it. I didn't make it. It just exists, all right?
The news doesn't make stories up.
No.
They report the news.
Put it this way. When I did the show in north of Koontz, which is between Vider and Jasper, one of our listeners, who I won't name, but he is African-American, was like, yeah, I'm not going to go to that show, buddy. That's not me talking. That's him talking. So okay. I mean, let's not act like I just accused. Oh, how dare you say Southeast Texas is racist? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I got confused with Jasper and Vider. Both of them have been in the news in the last decade for various reasons involving race. Okay. Can we call that fair?
Yeah.
Okay.
Neither one of them are going to be on a side-by-side comparison with Salt Lake City, Utah anytime soon right. for anything other than the amount of whiteness and not just the snow.
Yes.
Ben Herp says, Nick, 62.4 miles, the difference between the two cities.
Now we're doing exact. Now we're Googling.
Yeah. So they're about an hour apart.
You guys are weirdos, man. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You guys are weirdos.
But you're participatory. I like that.
What?
They participate. Yeah. I like that.
Somebody said the Cut and Shoot bars host Little People Wrestling.
Oh, no wow. way.
Yeah.
I totally would go.
You're a fan now?
Totally would go.
Crash on my. Nick, you could crash at my place.
As long as you don't bring chicks.
Dude, I would totally. Do they still do that stuff?
Yeah.
Every time I think of that, what was
of course
it?
They do.
Was it Stripes?
Got to earn a living somehow.
No, Stripes wasn't. What movie had the little people wrestling?
What are you talking about? There's a lot of.
There was little movie, little people mud wrestling. Was it?
I'm sure
Road
Johnny
Trip?
Knoxville incorporated that in one of his movies.
I don't know
if it was Road Trip or Stripes. Here we go, suspects. Here's your second participatory
you're about to
item.
Get lit up on the text
yeah,
line.
61 again. We're going to set the new record.
The only issue with this text is it says Cut and Shoot bars host little problem wrestling. Obviously using speech to text, but you meant little people, so I got it.
I would totally watch that because I've never seen that in person. Ever. I've never seen that little. Because
really?
there's plenty of those events in Texas.
Really?
Yeah. I know AJ. I think, I don't know if AJ or someone around here told me they've been to one.
That doesn't surprise me.
I've never been to one, but I would go.
I would totally go.
I would.
What are the rules? We got to figure this out.
I don't think you can throw each other. That's frowned upon.
The little people can't throw the other little people around?
I mean,
why not?
That's a long story. Some people will get that reference.
Oh, my bad.
Don't know. Not everybody, but some people will get it. Boy, I'm having to do a lot of self-censorship
today.
It's a struggle.
And it's the second segment, man.
But I told you guys what I wanted to say at the break, and
we
both of you said the same thing.
We all agreed you made the right move.
So. Yep. Yeah.
That was dangerous territory.
Trying to keep the job. Especially after the 61 text messages and phone boards lit up. Right?
I know.
Good times. Boy, the texts are still rolling in. Everyone chill out. I don't care.
Normally you...
Literally deleting. I'm just going to do a Google... not a Google search, but we can search the inbox. I'm going to put in the word Jasper and then just delete everything that comes up because I don't care.
Normally, you rub sticks together in the first half hour. Normally, we get a little smoke by about 2 o'clock, and we don't get the full-blown fire going till at least 2:30, quarter to 3.
Correct.
Today, you just thought to save time and just started a 4-alarm fire in segment 1. Well, I mean.
Sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
I guess so.
Yeah. All right, cool. I cleared out the inbox. If you texted about Jasper Vider, your text has been deleted. We've corrected it. We're moving on. Not that big of a deal. You guys freaked out for no reason. Mm-hmm.
Evidently bigger deal than you thought.
So. I would say they freaked out for no reason.
I don't think in New York or Major League Baseball freaked out for no reason because based on every live shot I saw last night in New York, it was nasty.
It was.
It was ugly.
Really?
Yeah, and Randy McAvoy and all these different guys. Berman, oh my God. The little man hanging around to an L, needing two hands for the umbrella, but he's got one hand on the phone at all times. And the umbrella's like, you know, going inside out and about to suck him up and take him up in a funnel cloud. And he's like repeating himself because he's trying to read through raindrops and it blurred his screen. And so he's like, it's blustery here in New York. And therefore MLB decided to cancel the game. I was like, oh, Berman, just give it up. just go find a good
that's
restaurant.
There's no way to talk about Berman who embraced you at the Astros game the other day.
Oh, we never talked about
that. He gave you a big ass hug. I've never seen Berman give anybody a hug.
He needed to.
After he snubbed him at the dinner table. He,
yeah. So
can we talk
weird.
About that?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Can I tell the story?
Sure.
It'll be on me, not you.
It's fine.
We, at the first game of the ALDS home game, Nick.
Our
Joel,
show was preempted, so we were there.
So we, all three of us went and we're sitting there eating at the table. And next to me is Coco Dominguez, who had no idea who we were, even though she's been on this show before. She had no idea.
And she beat your ass in the camel races.
That's fake news. But she had no idea. Let's be real.
Right.
She looked at the three of us, and we might as well have just worked at the been groundskeepers mm-hmm. at the Astros. Mm-hmm. Right? So then Mark Berman sits down, and never not once does he acknowledge Joel. Not doesn't look in his direction. He knows we're there. And Joel even very loudly goes, "Watch, let's see how long it takes." And looks at Mark Berman. Nothing happens. But then once Joel is up talking to
Matt Thomas came in and said, "Hey, man," give me a big hug and goes, "Now, when's the due date?" and everything like that. And we start talking, and Berman happened to be behind Matt, and it was like he was waiting to pounce.
Yeah.
So the minute Matt goes, "You didn't know that Lisa's expecting at the end of October," and all of a sudden it was like little people wrestling. He just got airborne and launched himself at me to where I had to kind of half catch him. So that he could tell me how happy he was for me and he missed me. And I was like, okay.
Stop. Oh, now you recognize me.
Exactly.
Get out of here. You and your...
I'm glad you mentioned that because I totally forgot about that.
Evidently, you know, things change when I can't help him out with all the footage he needs and all the quotes that he needs when I'm no longer the DOB.
Yeah, Mark. Take that in New York and can't hear this.
That's fine. Someone will send him the podcast and I don't care.
Facts are facts.
So, yeah, scoop that. So that's the way that rolls. But we had a great time at that game. And game four we're going to get into here next as Tanaka against Greinke is set for temperature in the 50s. And they don't think it's going to get much lower, but wind gusts could get to 30 miles an hour. So little Uzi, we don't need you on this one. We got the weather report. But we'll talk about all the different aspects of this game tonight, too, because there's a lot of people chiming in a lot of different ways about who the rain out favors most, how the rotations will go forward. I know my resident numbers guy who's already crunched enough to realize what the best case scenario is in Barry. So we're going to get all that and we'll roll into that because we need to kind of focus on the fact that the biggest news here in H-Town has got to be that game tonight. And look, if the Astros are in the driver's seat and win this one tonight, I mean,
series is over.
It's over. And for me, everybody's like, "Well, then you save Verlander too."
No
you don't.
No.
You go and you step on the jugular. You keep stepping on their neck, and you go, "Let's finish it." And you know what? And let's put a little more salt in the wound, little princess squad worrying about stealing signs and things like that. Let's do it on your field in your visiting locker room, and let's really, really, really celebrate it if they get in that opportunity.
I don't think they win tonight, but if they did, if they did, then I certainly throw Verlander no matter what. I mean, to me, the order, no matter what. Unless they're down going into on the 19th when they come back home, which
right.
I don't think they'll be.
Right.
But, I definitely go Greinke Verlander no matter what happens. And then if they're down or in a dire situation, then you have to start Cole on early rest. But
I don't agree with that. Based on if they're down coming back, then you have to consider
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Not consider it.
But I'm
you
saying
do.
The ideal
why
scenario.
Why would you not do it? If you're down, if you're coming back down two games
look
to
at
three,
the track record of pitchers on 3 days rest.
It doesn't matter. You're going to run Urquidy out there and leave Cole?
No, I'm not saying that either. I'm not saying that either.
You have to run Cole out there.
We'll talk about it. All right?
No, you're wrong on this.
So
what was that?
So we'll have a discussion and continue discussion.
I've already decided I'm
right. But I will say this. In terms of a bullpen game, the ideal situation is
game six
at home because you don't want Urquidy to get his feet wet with his first start in the playoffs at Yankee Stadium.
AJ Hinch said it best. If we can get our best pitchers in the game as soon as possible, we're always going to do that. So there's no reason to start Urquidy on the 18th and wait to start Verlander on the 19th if – the 18th would be his normal 4 days rest.
Right. No, I'm totally with Verlander game five, Greinke game four, and hopefully they win one of the next two so that they're in the position to use the bullpen game in game six and have the big dog waiting for game
seven.
Remember
what I said. All you have to do is win the Verlander and Cole starts. That's it. And so far they have.
You know what else you got to do?
What do you got to do,
Contact
Joel?
Fitz Roofing. Anytime you got an issue with any kind of roof or roofing need, whether you have a leaky roof or you're looking at replacing the roof on your house, you get in contact with Fitz Roofing. They take care of you because that's what they do. Locally owned and operated. They got an A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau. 5-star ratings on Facebook and Home Advisor. They do it all for you, and they do it here in the H-Town community. Check them out, FITZRoofing.com, or better yet, call them. 832-521-3001. Set up your free no-obligation inspection today. That's right. They come to you, they check out what they need to do, and they go home. If you need them to come back, you call them. They do great work. They use the top quality product on the market, CertainTeed shingles, and they take care of you every step of the way. They're so dedicated to Houston that they have a Fits for Families program. They not only do great work on the people that can afford the roofing, they also have this nonprofit where the money goes to help people who have needs for roofs but cannot afford to put them over their head. It's a 10% of all profits back to the community program called Fitz for Families that just shows you how dedicated they are to H-Town. Check them out again, fitzroofing.com, or call them 832-521-3001. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through the first hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel in the Gal Media Studios in the Galleria on a Thursday, getting ready for Game 4 tonight between Tanaka and Grinke, Yankees and Astros. We got into it a little bit before the break, but I need people again, like I did the other night when I tweeted when he was on the hill. I'm just not feeling good about Grinke, right? And the odds say a pitcher that has this resume, that has been this good for this long, should not lose his first three postseason starts as a member of the best team arguably he's ever been on.
He's never been good in the postseason, though. You know,
but I know that. Right. Okay. And I know that he hasn't been great in the postseason. And you can add him to Kershaw and David Price and so many others. But again, when you put him on this roster with as good as this team is, I think you wouldn't expect him to have a bad outing against the Rays, but you can understand how he could have a bad outing against the Yankees. And again, like we both talked about, he got no offensive support in game one.
Right.
So, you know, 6 innings, 3 runs. And if you could somehow muster that from him again tonight, I would take that.
On the road?
Yes.
Absolutely. With the wind blowing
with
out.
With the conditions.
And him throwing at about batting practice speed half of his pitches.
Well, the grunt adds at least 5 miles an hour.
I tell you, ball go far in Yankee Stadium when the wind's blowing out to right, and that concerns me the most. I mean, when you compare the two outings, like you said, he had a good outing. 6 innings, 7 hits, 3 earned runs. That's mm-hmm. a quality start. Mm-hmm. Problem was is that Tanaka was a lot better. Tanaka looked damn near unhittable. Had the one hit that he gave up. Only struck out four. I think what the Astros did the last game against Severino, they've got to do again with Tanaka. You have to be really patient at the plate. Your approach. Yep. One of the things we didn't talk about yesterday that I thought was really important with the Astros versus Severino was the first Alex Bregman at bat. That at bat alone, really, I think he took 8, 10, 12 pitches, mm-hmm. fouled off a lot of pitches, hung in there with that at bat, and really drove up his pitch count. And that's what you have to do in the postseason against these good pitchers. You saw it with Gerrit Cole. You saw it with Justin Verlander. You got to get their pitch count as high as possible to get them out
as quick as possible. Right.
Now, in the case of the Yankees, they're kind of thinking the opposite because for the next 4 days, it's been blown out of proportion, I think. But they've got from now to the end of this series, there's no days off. Yeah. So their bullpen's really not going to get a rest.
Right.
They need their pitchers to have an extended outing for the next couple of days to kind of save that bullpen. That's why it's important that they kind of do the opposite. They are very efficient as they face this Astros lineup. To me, that's going to be the difference in this game.
So for me, with the Grinke thing, as much as it was a quality start, the one concern I had was normally if it's a real quality Grinke start and you just understand it was all the fact that the offense wasn't going, was the fact that they dink and dunk him too. There's a couple of, you know, kind of soft liners or, you know, maybe one gap shot, but a couple of singles. But the fact that he gave up a couple of bombs worries me because, again, tonight, now like you're talking about, now you're in a wind tunnel in a stadium that already is pretty open to giving up bombs as it is. So you're going to start getting – you don't want to get into a home run derby with the Yankees. In terms of Tanaka, when you look at the numbers, and you know that the Astros guys will, and you know that Bregman was all over this the last time they faced him, they got to move up in the box because he threw minimal fastballs and was just relying on off-speed stuff that, you know, comes out of his hand looking like a strike, and then by the time it gets near the plate, especially with guys back in the box, they're just flailing and chasing. And, I think that they have a chance to get on him early. Because the numbers also state, if you give him an extra day's rest, unlike a lot of guys, he's like even better. But on regular rest, he's been pretty good. Playoffs, he's obviously a lot better. But I think that the Astros will do some recon off of that first game against him too and try to figure out the fact that, look, if they make a few adjustments, they can try and get to him early.
It's funny because I heard yesterday the same thing Fred and AJ were saying about how, well, I think it was Fred who was making the point. This is the second time you've seen Tanaka. Guess what? It's also the second time they've seen Zach Greinke in the same amount of time. And they had much better, they had a much better outing against Zach Greinke the first time out. So it does worry me a bit. I think the conditions in the game and the weather and everything else, it just all favors the Yankees at this point. I mean, I would love to see that the Astros can go in there and win this game, because then I think that puts them firmly in the driver's seat.
Oh, for sure.
And now you've got to beat Verlander and Cole to win this series. You're still probably going to have to do that.
Here's the other thing, too, when you talk about all that, right, is the fact that when you look at what you just said about making sure you take pitches and make them long at bats, okay, that was really, really pressing with a guy like Severino that didn't really get stretched out, come back from injury. But even Tanaka's a guy that they don't expect to get more than five innings from. So if you can get the pitch count up early for him, and with, like you said, no day off and four straight bullpen days, that's a big problem for Boone. Because now you got to get bullpen guys in this game earlier, and then you're really going to press them because you're going to need them for the next, you know, three, 4 days.
Yeah. I know he's gone. I mean, he's thrown 111 pitches this year, Tanaka. So it's not he can't go. I'm looking at his charts right now. I mean, he's topped 100 pitches half a dozen times at least.
When in the season, though?
Throughout. I mean, he had versus the Rangers in September, he threw 103.
Okay.
So he can go. I mean, he's gone seven innings. I see, you know, several six innings. Here's a nine inning outing where he
threw
111 pitches.
Even on the broadcast, they said they would take six, but that Boone would start looking
at him. They need seven from him. I mean, they need seven. They need more than just a quality start from Tanaka. And problem is, I think they get it. But if I'm just predicting here.
I'm just hoping everything you say is wrong.
Me too. I really do, because I could see this being like a 6-3 game where, you know, they do some work, but it's just out of hand early. But
there's no indicator with Greinke. I mean, we always talk about how he's never had a good postseason performance. This is going to be his third game in the postseason. The first two weren't the greatest. One, I guess you can kind of give him an excuse for because of the bats. But there's no indication that tells you otherwise. So I think it's not a crazy thing to say, Barry, you know, that could possibly happen.
Yeah.
If he turns around in the postseason, I think that's going to be so telling, but it's also going to be telling if he doesn't do well, because what do you do with Greinke if he has a third bad performance in the postseason? What do you do?
I mean, at this point,
he's basically done.
Yeah, you're married to that for at least the rest of the postseason. And then going into next year, we talked about what do you do with Cole, and Joel had the idea to trade Greinke and free up that money for Gerrit Cole, and that would be great if somebody's willing to take on Zach Greinke and his dollar amount, but it's a lot of money. You already have, you know.
Now, let me ask you this.
$30 million invested in Verlander over the next couple of years and Greinke. Can't do that with Cole either. So I would try to move Greinke.
Here's what I'm interested in, that maybe
insurance.
You can find out. But if you trade Greinke, does the 10 that Arizona's paying per year on his remaining 2 years go with it? So Arizona still pays 10 of his 34 to whatever team he's playing for?
I mean, if it doesn't, the Astros can just take that money and say pay it.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm pretty sure it would transfer.
You've got to believe some team would take him at 24.
Yeah.
National League, he's a pretty good hitter still. He prides himself on his hitting. I'll tell you right now, a team that would, not saying it's a great move for them or anything like that because he was there once before, but Milwaukee would probably consider Zach Greinke taking him back. And at 24, because Milwaukee's obviously has budget constraints like crazy.
That's the big issue.
But if you get a few, you know, recoup a few of the prospects that you had to give up in getting him to take this risk, just to kind of replenish a little bit of the farm system, and you get all that money off the books, I would do it in the offseason, because from what I've seen, he's not the pitcher he once was, and not to, you know, crap on him or say anything that he did was wrong. It just doesn't seem like it's been the greatest fit.
I mean, in the postseason.
In the postseason.
Yeah, in the regular season, he went 10-1 when he was here, right?
But even then, he got a couple wins because they got him some run support. But he's not the real kind of Astros prototypical pitcher, which is, you know, big-time arm.
Right.
And then, you know, whether they had it coming in or not, you develop the spin rate and the breaking pitch or the secondary pitch, and you got yourself a good pitcher.
I'm sorry, he was 8-1. Okay. Same thing. Yeah. I mean, he pitched really
well.
What
was his ERA?
His ERA in August was 3.45, and in September it was 2.59.
So there you go. Not bad.
No. I don't know if it's worth the 30-something million
that's my biggest point. When you look at weighing the options of next year, Verlander and Greinke, you're 1-2.
His season totals, 2.93 ERA, 18-5, 187 strikeouts, and a .98 whip. A lot of teams out there would love that.
That's what I'm saying. I hope they do, because like I said, if you look at your roster for next year and you say my 1-2 is either Verlander and Greinke or Verlander and Cole, I know exactly where I'm going, and I'm not looking back.
Obviously, yeah. Yep.
All right, we're going to continue to roll on. We'd love to hear from you, Astros and otherwise. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back to wrap up hour number one, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Wait till I get coffee during the break, Barry.
God, bless it, that was loud.
Yeah!
Is that me?
No, him. Just screaming.
Oh.
I didn't have my earphones on. It's actually quieter in my headphones than it is in person with
him. Let me explain to you why I did that, Barry. Because screaming is allowed. Whistling is not.
Oh, okay.
So according to Ken Rosenthal, because of this whole stealing signal gate going on with teams in baseball, Major League Baseball placed someone in the camera well by the Astros dugout in game one and another in the back of the dugout. And coincidentally, according to Ken, not that he's throwing out any kind of crap that will get people fired up, the Yankees won the game convincingly. So in the next couple games, when the Astros were employing the whistle to let hitters at the plate know as quickly as possible what kind of pitch was coming, that it was advantage Astros. So now all whistling is banned. I mean, it's basically the way he sent the tweet was when Major League Baseball officials were on it and literally on site real close, the Yankees won the first game. And then I guess, I don't know if they got lax or decided it was no longer an issue, but now it's an issue again.
It's funny because in his tweet he says, they had somebody in the back of the dugout in game two. Neither officials nor umpires heard whistling. Yankees won game one. Yeah, and they lost game two. So what's your point?
Can I also point something out? Certain pitchers tip their pitches and certain pitchers don't. So if there's a pitcher that doesn't, and Tanaka's one of those guys that's methodical, that I'm sure really works on his craft, that looks like a guy that doesn't tip. But when you look at other pitchers, and a guy like Severino, who's a real power pitcher, but probably isn't as polished as a Tanaka, it's a possibility, and you jump on it.
Wow, I'm really surprised that Ken Rosenthal's source for the initial report of the whistling is from Andy Martino, whose bio on Twitter says, "I cover the Yankees and the Mets." Oh, really? Clown, get out of here.
And as we mentioned, Yankee fans need to just shut the hell up. Because let me just get a quick reminder for the rest of the free world of what New York's hoping you forget while they take your side on this. Is the fact that they were knee-deep in Signalgate, back and forth with the Red Sox, what, a year or two ago? And using Apple Watches in the dugout, and the center field camera, and all this back and forth, and fines and suspensions, and all this crap was on the table. So just slow down.
If you think that every other team in baseball isn't stealing signs, you're an idiot.
Correct.
If you think that the Yankees aren't out there...
Chitting.
Yeah, if you think that they're not out there looking for tendencies and tipped pitches, you're an idiot. It's happening. Every team does it. It's not the Astros' fault that they're good at it. Need I remind you that one of the best people in baseball at finding a pitcher's tail and tipped pitches is the manager of the Red Sox now, Alex Cora.
That's right.
And he's the one that I think got credit for the Yu Darvish tip. So everybody does it.
Tell him, Nick. Everybody chits.
It's just stupid.
Chitting.
It's just stupid that this has become an issue.
According to Big Poppy.
According to David Ortiz.
Yes, and here's the other thing. As a hitter, you may know what's coming, or they're giving you the signal that they think they can tell you what's coming. It's still hard because in your mind, there's nothing that's giving you 100%. And regardless of whether it's a breaking pitch or a fastball, if it's a good one in the right location, it's still a challenge. The best players in this game hit it 3 out of 10 times. So even if you have that little bit of an advantage, it can help you, but can also be a mental distraction because now you're like, are they right? Is it really? I don't know. And even still, where the location and everything else. So that's not going to be the difference between winning and losing a game, I don't feel.
According to this article from the Yankees, it says it's not illegal for teams to whistle or gesture from the dugout to make tip hitters off at the hitters off at the plate. But the Astros are in the clear after MLB officials in the camera well in Game 1 and in the back of the dugout in Game 2 found Houston didn't break any of the rules. The initial complaint came from during Game 1 of the ALCS when a Yankees third base coach, Phil Nevin, heard the whistling sound. The Yankees proceeded to yell across the field with both teams arguing. The whole dugout was pissed, said one source. Everyone was chirping.
Yep.
Really? And then what about that picture of Aaron Judge with the with side-by-sides of delivery of Justin Verlander? Anybody upset about that? Because I'm not. Because you know what? The Astros are doing the same thing. And if you're not, you're a dumbass.
That's correct.
If your team isn't out there trying to pick up tendencies and try to, in any way, shape, or form that's legal, tell your hitter what's coming, you're doing your team a disservice.
Phil Nevin, former Astros number one overall draft pick. Yeah. And you know why you don't remember him? Because he didn't do a damn thing when he was an Astro. And now he's trying to make a name for himself and possibly get a managerial job by being a guy that everybody thinks is a real tough guy as a third base coach. You go, big guy.
So MLB found no issues, but if the Astros were whistling in Game 1, why did they get shut out? Why did Tanaka give up a single hit? Obviously, if they were doing it, then what does it matter? Because it didn't work. It doesn't matter because they weren't doing it.
You know what, Nick? That might have been, too, when you and I were going back and forth when I was in the hospital and wondering why A.J. Hinch was having the long meeting with the umpires between innings. And it might not have been anything at all about anything going on the field. It might have been the whole issue with the Yankees.
No, I think that was the swinging strike issue and about could you replay it.
Oh, really?
That's what that was, yeah.
Okay, because I wasn't sure.
And no one asked. I remember us texting about it, but no one asked in the post-game presser. So
it was the swinging strike, and could the umpires review it, and would it be an out, or was it a dead ball because it got away? That sense about that.
You want to get some of these callers in before we get out of here in the first hour? All right, Eric
has been waiting the longest.
Eric, what's up?
What's up, fellas? I just wanted to say a couple things first off. Thank you so much for the ridicule and making me reevaluate my life yesterday and becoming a better man and getting on the right path to be the right usual suspect for you guys.
All good, Eric.
Work in
All
progress,
good.
Eric.
Every day.
Are you still following Cam Horse, or did you give that up? Have you given up Cam?
No, I had to reevaluate my life. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, I'm
no
good.
More, Nasty no more self. Cam Horse. I'll just go to your Twitter page and see them pouring beer out of their butt. No.
That was disgusting, wasn't it, bro? That was awful.
Oh, God.
Ugh. Nick drank that. Like 6 gallons of that. It's so gross. All right, go ahead, man. Sorry. Ugh.
Do y'all think tonight if we can keep our bats hot and win this game in New York, do we make the next game our bullpen game so we can try and close that out and keep Verlander and Cole fresh for the series?
Thanks for the call, Eric. I'll answer it even though you said we like 50 times.
I knew I could see your face.
I saw your face, too. I was like, here it comes.
Let me know when you're where you're hitting in the order, first of all. That'll be good. Second of all, no, I don't. I mean, we talked about it earlier in the show. I think no matter what, Justin Verlander pitches tomorrow.
I agree with that.
I think there's 100%. No matter what, the bullpen game will be game six unless they're down. If they lose tonight and they lose tomorrow – and they go down 3-2, and they're coming back to Houston, then I think you really have to consider Gerrit Cole on short rest, on 3 days rest. Other than that, though, I'm going to stick by my prediction that it's Greinke tonight, Verlander tomorrow, Urquidy in the bullpen in Game 6, and Gerrit Cole to close it out. Because the beautiful thing is if you close it out before then, Gerrit Cole is your Game 1 starter in the World Series.
And that's what you want, too.
That's ideal.
Because you know that Washington's the hot team, and regardless if they've been off or not, their rotation is going to be set up exactly the way they want it for the World Series. And that matters when you have two similar to the Astros-type pitchers at the front of the rotation in Strasburg and Scherzer that are power pitchers, and they're going to be there for 1-2.
Yep.
So that is ideal for the Astros. Corey wants to get in here before we head to break. More Astros talk. Back to the sign stealing. Corey, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, Phil? So I wanted to talk about sign stealing. This whole story with this is just overblown to gauge up interest and the playoffs. Sign stealing's been going on at every level pros, college, high school, even in Little League, we were 9 and 10 years old, we were stealing signs. If you're dumb enough to have simple signs that people can pick up on easily, that's kind of on you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Appreciate the call, Corey. Good stuff right there.
Totally,
and that's absolutely
that.
True. It's gamesmanship. Look, and one of the things in the article I think you were reading that I read the other night on the whole thing was like the unwritten rules of the game says. Well, you know what? I've heard about, you know, if you bat flip or you do, you know, that you get plunked. Or if you plunk one of my guys, I plunk one of your guys. And all these other things. I've never in a million years, and I played the game a long time on a lot of different levels, felt that and have been told there's an unwritten rule that if you think they're stealing signs, that you call it, you know, that you make a big deal of it because that's a big deal. We did it in college.
Yeah.
It's just, you know what? Like Corey said, if you're dumb enough to not have an indicator and just put it right out there for everybody to view, that's on you.
I mean, I agree. I don't see what the big deal is. This isn't something that the Astros invented. This has been going on for decades,
yep,
upon decades. And the Astros are a smart organization that figure out they can be creative in the way that they're picking up, you know, signs or whatever it is. Don't knock them for that, but everything that they're doing is not cheating.
No.
Now, you want to get to the watches with the Boston Red Sox and the Yankees, or the guy that was in the outfield with a camera for the Astros.
Right.
That's all cheating.
Yep.
Otherwise, nah. Sorry, fam.
That's hour one. Still got two to go. That means plenty more of the show. Why don't you join us? 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line, or hit us up on Twitter. Hour two around the corner, ESPN 97.5.